Clemson hoops all season long. We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Hour number two of the program here on a Friday with Fax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. You're listening to Fax on Sports. Appreciate everybody tuning in this morning. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and Adams Coat Roofing text line remain open. Texter 81 gets in with an intriguing question as we're kind of shifting gears to NFL. We'll wrap back to college at some point before we're out of here. When you look at QBs currently in the NFL, who do you look at and say that guy's going to be a Hall of Fame player? Thanks, Texter 81. I think there's been an undeniable QB regression in the last 10 to 20 years. I think a part of that is defenses getting smarter. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, how frequently too high shells are utilized and people are being forced to take the checkdowns. I do think there are some surefire Hall of Famers in the league, though, right now. First of all, Matt Stafford, surefire Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, crazy statistics, might win an MVP to go with it this year. Think he's a pretty much as close to a shoe-in as you can get. He's got the longevity. He's got the total stats. I'd be floored if Stafford isn't in the Hall of Fame. Mahomes seems like a layup, right? Mahomes is going to the Hall of Fame. Three Super Bowls.
There's a quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, currently, who I think has a pretty good chance of making the Hall of Fame in Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers is easily a Hall of Fame guy.
Josh Allen.
I would say Josh
could
Allen.
Could stumble his way into if he finds a little more postseason success.
I think Lamar Jackson, who is a two-time MVP and has been like runner-up in two other years, I think that his individual accolades might get him there. He might need a team boost to get there in totality.
I mean, if they're not necessarily have to be in the playoffs right now, I think Myles Garrett's going to have a gold jacket.
Yeah.
I think T.J. Watt will have a gold jacket.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Justin Jefferson, maybe Jamar Chase. Like, there's a lot of gold jacket talent in the league currently.
Texter says, what do you guys think of Jaden Daniels year three? I thought it was pretty predictable that the Commanders were going to stink this year, if you want me to be honest with you. I thought that part of that was Daniels being kind of generally fragile, and then part of that was the fact that, like, the Commanders didn't beat a ton of great quarterbacks last year, but I do think that a bounce back is realistic to anticipate because I think Daniels is a top 10 quarterback in the league when he's on the field. And I think that, like, water found its level this year with Washington in the same way that, like, they probably weren't as good as it showcased in 2024, and they probably weren't as bad as it showcased this year. I think they're going to be like a 10-win team that's right back in the playoff mix next year, and JD5 is going to go crazy. I think Daniels is really good. I think he's the best out of all these young quarterbacks, Stroud included. Yeah. That's the guy. That's the guy. I was really impressed with what Jaden Daniels was able to accomplish, and he's a great player. Texter gets in and says, ever heard of a guy named Brandon Aubrey, Hall of Fame for sure at kicker? Yeah, you're right. That dude's ridiculous if he can keep this up. Texter gets in and says, if they lose to the Jags, I think Buffalo fires their coach. Buffalo is completely dependent on Allen and Cook playing out of their mind. I think there's a lot of accuracy in that. I don't know if they're playing the right guys in the secondary in Buffalo. I just don't. McDermott just doesn't move me, man. Like, what have they accomplished ever? I don't know. You have such a great player for such an extended period of time, and you can't win with the guy. You lose a little bit of leash with me. And let's take this into some NFL playoffs talk. 654-ROAR is the number. We can start with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Buffalo Bills. Again, I'm floored that the Bills are favored in this game with how hot the Jacksonville Jaguars are and the quality of football they've been playing. I think Jacksonville is better at every facet of the game other than who is playing quarterback. And that's no diss on Trevor. Allen's got an argument to be made for best player on the planet. And I think that's arguably why the line is the light of what the line is. But Jacksonville and Duval County bringing playoff football back right in this massive win streak, peaking at the right time. And it's not just winning, but it's blowing people out and winning by a lot. I think the Jaguars roll. I think there's a good chance the Jaguars might win this one by double digits. I just don't know if Buffalo can stop Jacksonville with the way they're orchestrating this offense right now. What say you, John?
I tend to agree with you, but part of... I have a little bit of pause with the Jaguars right now, and I know that's not popular here. I just wonder if it's a little bit too early for this team and this coaching staff. Like, are they... Is this a step too quickly in the rebuild? And I don't know. You know, I've liked what Liam Cohen has done. I just don't know, is he ready for this moment, for this challenge? It's still a very young football team. Yeah, I don't I don't know how big of a coaching advantage Buffalo has here. I agree with a lot of what you're saying about McDermott. I'm kind of surprised that he is still there with Buffalo after some of their postseason bounces, that they wouldn't have tried something different, kind of like the Ravens are choosing to do with Lamar Jackson right now.
Yeah.
I have this gut feeling that it's like 23-20 Buffalo on Sunday afternoon. Not what I want to see happen, for the record. Be heavily rooting for these Jacksonville Jaguars. I have a tough time believing that Parker Washington and Jacoby Myers are really the wide receiver duo that's going to get you there. They've been great. But also, don't trust my playoff analysis record to be, you know, take it in Sharpie and go run to a sports book somewhere. I pulled for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought they could have won 6 of their last 8 playoff games. I don't have a good read on this stuff, if I'm being honest.
Texter says, what coach do you trust in the playoffs? There's a couple. I trust McVay. I trust Mike McDonald. I trust LaFleur, funnily enough, for the Packers.
You may blow your head gasket here. I trust Nick Sirianni.
I trust Nick Sirianni at home. I think the Eagles are going to beat the Niners pretty comfortably. I trust Nick Sirianni at home. Nick Sirianni's never lost a home playoff game. He's 1-2 away from home in the playoffs in his career as the Eagles head coach, and he's 5-0 at home. So I'm not blowing a gasket with that. The Eagles, in my entire lifetime, the Eagles have really only lost one big playoff game at home, and that was to Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game. Outside of that, and then I guess in 2011 when Rodgers won his one, Vic threw a completely just horrible, horrible pick into double coverage targeting Riley Cooper in the 2011 wild card round. Still think the Eagles were good enough to win the Super Bowl that year because Rodgers took that team that in game that went down to the wire and went and won the Super Bowl. But yeah, no, if the Eagles are at home, I trust the Eagles, and I trust Sirianni as well. And I think the Eagles' defense is really good, and in the cold weather, that's going to be super advantageous. So I don't think that's unfair at all, especially coming off of a Super Bowl. I don't like the guy, but that doesn't mean that I can ignore the track record that he's had at home. In the AFC is where I just have more questions as far as what the coaching looks like. Like Vrabel, I think you could say I trust Mike Vrabel. I think he has a pretty good postseason track record, and he was able to probably get Tennessee to spots that team was not good enough to get to with Ryan Tannehill going to the AFC That's Championship fair. Game, beating the Bengals in that one game where it felt like the Bengals outplayed him and they were able to find a way to get the win. So I really like Vrabel as well. And we can take that. I'm going to take the Jaguars for what it's worth. If you're rolling with the Bills, that's cool. I mean, listen, betting against Josh Allen is a dangerous game regardless. That's arguably the best player on the planet.
Rooting interest, I'm not pulling for the Bills. We'll be rooting for the Jaguars here. I just have this gut feeling that it's like 23-20, 20-17, you know, kind of but the over-under here is 51.5. I would take the under. Like, I have this sneaky feeling that it's going to be surprisingly low scoring.
The winner of this one will likely play. I'll say likely because we don't know what's going to happen. I guess in theory, the Bills... If the Bills were to win and the Patriots were to win, then the Bills would be going to the Broncos as the lowest seed remaining as the 6. But if the Jaguars win, it's very likely they're going to play the winner of the Patriots and the Chargers, which is a game up in Foxborough. We talked to Grayson Mann from TigerNet yesterday. He's going to be going to that one. Super excited. He's been like freaking out all week. I can't blame him. That's got to be the best feeling in the world. Getting to watch your team play a playoff game. Waiting all day for Sunday night. NBC Peacock at 8 p.m. on the 11th. It's the 2-seed Pats against the 7-seed Chargers. And I have been very pro Justin Herbert on the program this year because I've watched a lot of Chargers football. And in the past, I've been very critical of Justin Herbert. I think this year has been the primary example of like, it's actually not his fault and this isn't a gimmick. Their pass protection has been the worst in the National Football League this year outside of the Tennessee Titans. The worst in the entirety of football. Now, I will say this about the Chargers. If there was a matchup for them to draw in the first round, it's a team with a weaker pass rush like the New England Patriots that's not overly amazing at getting to the passer. I think the Patriots are going to win. I think the home field advantage, the weather advantage, Vrabel having experience in these big time moments, Herbert traditionally being a pretty bad playoff performer, all of those things compounded into one, I think are really advantageous for the New England Patriots. But you apply the logic to this Jacksonville Jaguars team about, is it too early? Trevor's played in a playoff game. Trevor's won a playoff game. They've come from behind in a playoff game. They've won national championships. Travis has won national championships. Those receivers have played in big-time games before. A lot of those dudes on defense are implants from other franchises that have played in big-time games. Liam Cohen coached in the playoffs as the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When I look at the Patriots, This is literally not an exaggeration. This is the biggest moment of Drake May's life. And I've campaigned for the guy. Like, we dropped the gimmick from the beginning of the season with Grayson. I think Drake May has been the best player in football this year and has a legitimate argument to be made for the MVP. I worry about him on this stage because he's never been there. It's not that I don't think he's built for it. I'm picking the Patriots to win the game and cover that 3.5-point spread. But I do have a little bit of worry about a guy that's making his first playoff appearance, because if you go down the road and all of these other destinations in the AFC, you look at Aaron Rodgers. He's played in more playoff games than I've watched. You look at the Texans. C.J. Stroud played in multiple playoff games. The Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence, multiple playoff runs, multiple playoff games. Josh Allen, multiple playoff runs and deep playoff runs, multiple playoff games. The Chargers. Justin Herbert. Harbaugh. Harbaugh's won a national championship. Herbert's played in a ton of playoff games and went to the Rose Bowl in the Pac-12 championship
game. Made it
game.
To the Super Bowl game.
Exactly.
Like, Harbaugh, I know you don't like him. The man has won.
No, he's a good coach. Like, objectively speaking, he's a really, really good coach. So that would be my, like, your hesitation with the Jaguars being a little bit early to the party. I think it's fair. I think I'm more worried about the Patriots when it comes to being early to the party.
That's fair.
And I think they might be a year early. I think they're going to win this game and lose the next one to Jacksonville. That's where I'm at. I think Jacksonville's going to beat the Bills, and then I think Jacksonville's going to go on the road to the Patriots and beat them next round. But I do think the Patriots are good enough and disciplined enough to take care of business at home, even if it means May working through some nerves and mistakes early.
I could not be more here for Trevor Lawrence going into Foxborough and ending the season of the New England Patriots. Let's be abundantly clear.
Yeah.
Would love to watch that. I hope your take comes to fruition, more so than me being right. Absolutely.
Yes.
That sounds fantastic.
Texter gets in and says Drake May couldn't get a better matchup for his first playoff game at home against a guy who choked hard his last appearance and with no O-line. Yes, you're correct, which is why I like the Patriots here. I don't think the Chargers are a very good team. What I do think is that Justin Herbert carried them on his back the whole year through injury adversity, and I think they're well coached, as John alluded to as well, with Harbaugh, and made the most of what they got. This is the end of the tunnel, in my opinion, for the Los Angeles Chargers this season, and it's not that against them. I just think the Patriots have been better. I think they've been more consistent. I think they're going to have the best player on the field in Drake May, and I really like them to advance in this spot out of the AFC. All right, let's head to Steelers-Texans. This is the one that we'll get a chance to preview this as well on Monday, but it's the last one in the AFC to get to. A lot of people have leaned more towards the Steelers, which has made me kind of swing my opinion back in the other direction. But to be honest with you, this is the one I'm least convicted on as to who I think is going to win the game in the entire playoffs. This isn't a diss. I don't know how particularly great either of these teams are. I think the Texans have the best unit in the game with their defense, but I think there's something to be said, which is why I picked the Steelers last week. I don't like picking against the Steelers at home. I know they've lost a ton of playoff games in the past, however many in a row it is now. There's something about getting them in that environment and that weather with Tomlin and a guy like Rodgers, who's like riding the adrenaline and wave of being old, and he could potentially be in his last season. My gut tells me Steelers, my brain tells me Texans, and I don't know where I'm at.
My brain tells me Texans, but of course my heart says the Steelers. Mike Tomlin is 0-8 in his last 8 playoff games.
Which is insane. Like, how is that possible?
We don't have enough airtime for me to air out how that's possible. Certainly the FCC doesn't want me to go on that rant. We got a text earlier. Mike Tomlin does not lose at home on Monday Night Football. This game will be played Monday night. That helps. I get all the little, like, there's little trends and things that are supposed to be beneficial for the Steelers here. I don't see it. I don't feel good about it. I think the Houston Texans win this game. Obviously, you know, I do not want that to happen. I still have a tough time figuring out what the Steelers do well. Other than find ways to win games, which is a skill set. Don't get me wrong. Like, sometimes as a football team, your best skill set is just, I don't know, whatever type of game we're playing today, we just got to find a way to win it. And win it by 3. They can do that. I just don't know if this is the game for it. That defense is fierce for Houston. And I worry with Metcalf having been suspended, is Arthur Smith just going to be like, that's fine, we'll just give it to Jonnu Smith every single play? You know, Kenny Gainwell's been great. Is Kenny Gainwell good enough to win you a playoff game as the lead person on offense?
Yeah.
I have a tough time believing that that's the case. You know, TJ Watt's still dealing with a lung issue. Don't love that.
Yeah.
Don't love that. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a very competitive game. I think whoever wins this game, it's going to be by 3 points. Be pulling for the Steelers, but I do think the Texans are the team that comes out victorious Monday night.
It's interesting to me, and we'll take this into the break and talk about the NFC on the other side. It's just I've kind of like stood on the soapbox for Bryce Young, and I've been in the minority for a lot of this. It's just so funny to me what the narrative is on CJ Stroud versus Bryce Young, even at this stage in their career. Like, the narrative that was being talked about after CJ Stroud's rookie season was that this was one of the worst decisions in the history of the National Football League to go with Bryce over Stroud. And then I look this year and I look at CJ Stroud, who has a top 10 wide receiver in Nico Collins, and they just invested more premium assets into wide receivers, and they've got a really good run game, and they have the best defense in football. And I look at Stroud's 3,041 passing yards, 19 TDs, and 8 picks. And then I look at Bryce Young, who has the worst wide receiver two maybe in the history of the NFL, and Xavier Leggett, and the worst tight end room in football, and a really banged up O-line that hasn't played their starters pretty much the whole season, with 23 touchdowns and 11 picks. And I'm just curious as to where that narrative went, because that narrative was like being shoved down our throats at a ridiculous rate in Bryce Young's rookie year, that this was some like massive franchise altering mistake. And ever since then, Bryce Young has gotten better every season, while CJ Stroud has gotten worse every season. I just find that interesting. Like, I feel like we jumped to conclusions way too quickly on rookie quarterbacks. And to be honest with you, Stroud has not been very good this year. It's not saying that Bryce is some world beater. I think Bryce is like the 16th best quarterback in football or something like that. 14 to 17 range is where I'm at with Bryce. I just think Stroud's like in the 12 to 14 range, and that's kind of where he's sunk to. He hasn't been very good back-to-back years now, and people were kind of really quick to crown the guy. I'll tell you right now, Jaden Daniels smokes CJ Stroud out of the water in every single category imaginable for me personally. I think Daniels is the significantly better talent, and I think Washington's in a much better place at QB going forward than Houston is. I just found it interesting that everybody wanted to like jump on that wave immediately and be like, ha-ha, look at the Panthers. They're sitting in the exact same spot. These quarterbacks have the exact same stat line, and Stroud's team is significantly better than Bryce's. So I just think a lot of this is situation. I think a lot of this is patience, coaching, infrastructure. And again, when you're the number one or the number two pick, you're going to be expected to turn things around quickly. CJ was able to do that immediately with a really good coach, defense, and infrastructure. And Bryce kind of walked into a disaster, which has been my point all along. So we'll see if either of them can win a playoff game. Stroud's still hunting for his second playoff win. They were able to get the Browns his first year when playing against Joe Flacco, if you remember that, when that craziness was Stefanski making the run, and then they lost to the Ravens, and then Bryce is obviously looking for his first playoff win, and I want to say it would be the first playoff win for the Panthers in 11 years if they were able to get it over the Rams this weekend. So we'll talk NFC on the other side of a quick break. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in.
Cooler weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen when thinking of and preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. Nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables sourced right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend celebration, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're traveling, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or a reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. The Ingles Floral Department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. Take it from me. You'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
Tough jobs need tougher protection. And now, Rhino Linings of Greenville is part of the Odyssey Vehicle Outfitters.
Get the spray-on bedliner that stands up to anything, from job site abuse to weekend adventures.
Rhino Linings delivers the ultimate in durability, backed by expert installation at Odyssey's state-of-the-art shop.
Protect your investment. Customize your ride. All in one place. Visit OdysseyVehicleOutfitters.com and get Rhino Tough today.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
At B&D Family Jewelers, value and trust come first. With Valentine's Day just around the corner, sparkle her with fine jewelry. Maybe it's for an engagement or just to spoil her. B&D Family Jewelers can help you make the day special. We also buy gold, silver, platinum, old jewelry, and diamonds. Visit B&D Family Jewelers, 1600 John B. White Boulevard in Spartanburg, or check us out at bndfamilyjewelers.com. B&D Family Jewelers can help make your special occasion memorable.
East Main Furniture in Easley, where every day is a sale day. Come find deals on living room, bedroom, dining room, lamps, rugs, mattresses, and occasional furniture. Brand names like Lazy Boy, England, Best, Ashley, Catnapper, Liberty Furniture, and Vaughn Bassett, all at discounted prices. If we don't stock it, we can special order it for you. With 90 days same as cash on purchases over $300, we make it easy. East Main Furniture, located at 829 East Main Street, Easley, or call 864-4426-054 today.
Coach Dabo Sweeney here from the Clemson Tigers. Just like high schools across the upstate, Clemson fans love football. But one thing I love more than football is my family. That's why we talk to our three children about alcohol and other drugs. Alcohol is the leading cause of death among youth. But the truth is, most upstate youth aren't drinking or using drugs. Remind your teenagers that most teens choose to be healthy and drug-free. Talk to your teens about drugs and alcohol. They will listen. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
Hour number two of the program continues on a Friday with Faxon Childress and John Hite on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Going to be giving out our picks on the NFC side after taking a quick phone call. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Like Delvin. Delvin, good to hear from you. Appreciate you checking in on a Friday.
Yeah, thanks for my call. First of all, I'm going to give a shout-out to the women's basketball team. They got a big game last night. I heard you guys on the radio. Great win last night.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And, yes, it was a 75-65 win for the Lady Tigers over NC State. Delvin, the last time Clemson beat NC State in women's basketball, I was in fourth grade. That's the – yeah.
Eddie, I saw you get Ray Thompson, didn't they? Y'all come to Ray Amy. You should say Ray Amy Nice. Miami's wife said Ray Amy Nice because her game's so nice.
Yeah, no, her game is nice. And then Rachel Rose, she's really starting to come into her own. We're seeing that Wofford version of Rachel. And again, like, people that aren't behind the scenes don't really, like, understand sometimes. Rachel was going through a lot this offseason. She's coming off a major hip surgery and also had a knee injury. Missed the entirety of last season due to injury. She's finally getting her confidence back, and she's playing hurt right now, too. So, like, she's just gutting it out. 19 points, 8 rebounds last night. Mia Moore with another double-double. Augusta Nada in double figures again. This team is so fun to be around. The culture is so great off the court. They play hard for each other. And then Coach Poppy, I genuinely, no bias, think he's a top five coach in the country. He's doing this with pennies on the dollar in comparison to his peers, and he's going into gunfights with a knife and stabbing people to death is the way that I view it. So that NC State team, again, Delvin, 3 to 4x the amount of money invested in their roster this year in comparisons to Clemson's, and then Poppy's got a top five recruiting class coming in the door next year as well. Going to be fun times for the foreseeable future for Clemson on the women's basketball side, and genuinely just getting started. I mean that.
So guys, this is for you and John. You think the SEC going to try to change the rules now in the playoffs? They ain't got no team now. They're going to try to get all 16 teams from the SEC in now?
Yeah.
They ain't got no team in the championship. They're going to try to change the rules.
The biggest loser of the 12-team playoff has been the SEC, which is so funny because they were the ones to push for it because they thought if they could get so many teams in, then they would dominate, and they've done nothing but fall on their face. I mean, it's undeniably hilarious that the Big Ten has just repeatedly shoved them in a locker the entire college football playoff era post-expansion.
Yeah, and I'll leave y'all with this. What do you think about Devin Williams going back? What they said, Tony Lewis got to go back to Washington because he didn't win because Washington had some backbone and threatened legal action against him. I'm glad to see a school finally do that, threatened legal action, and we're going to take his money away from him because his agent dropped him. When your agent drops you, you know it's a bad situation.
Yeah, and again, like I don't have all the information. It's just weird, man. Like, that is a weird and off-putting situation that kind of shows the – I wouldn't say jeopardy that collegiate athletics is in, but that's kind of where we're at right now, man. Like, it's just a weird world we live in. So another thing is, like, Lane still needs a quarterback. He ain't getting Trinidad. He likely just ran Leavitt off by trying to backdoor Williams, and now Williams isn't coming either.
Oh, no, you hate to see it. Oh, man. that's just, fine. They could trot out the walk-on for week one, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, third time I called, guys.
Appreciate you checking in, Delvin. 654-ROAR is the number. And you just have to empathize with Lane Kiffin for how selfless he is. What a great character and high character guy he is. I sound like the Sankey of Lane Kiffin's PR team.
Peter Burns, I didn't realize I was doing a show with you this morning. Congratulations.
You just feel so bad for Lane Kiffin throughout
this. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's not his fault. He didn't believe in this Ole Miss team that they would go this far. Now he has to put these coaches in a hard... Poor Lane Kiffin.
Poor Lane. I will say, did you see him trolling on Twitter last night? He tweeted
I muted him during this playoff run.
He tweeted
I couldn't handle it anymore. The narcissism was just too much for me.
He tweeted a heartbreak and was like, so close, so proud of y'all, like, yada, yada, yada. Then quote tweeted the video and was like, 100% was pass interference. And I can't tell if he's being satirical or serious, and I think he's being satirical and, like, rubbing it in. Now, again, maybe if I had $1 million on the line, which would have been the bump last night, maybe he genuinely is mad. But then again, he's making, what, $13 million this year alone from LSU?
The money doesn't mean anything. All he has to do is call the governor and say, I'd like an extra $1 million, and they'll give it to him. Like, it doesn't matter about the money for Lane. This was all about him. And he could not handle the fact that he had egg on his face. The further Ole Miss went in this playoff, the worse he looked as a person.
Yeah, that is true.
Your whole deal is caring about how you are perceived and how you look and the attention that you are getting, I mean, he could not have shown his you-know-what more over the last month and a half.
I don't disagree.
Enjoy him, LSU. Enjoy it. Because, he does this to everybody, but he'll never do it to you.
Yeah. Totally.
He'll never do it to you. You're fine. You're good. He'll never, just because he's cheated on everybody else doesn't mean he won't cheat on you, though. You're
exactly.
Fine.
It's like what LSU did is like essentially, locking things in with the girl that cheated on her boyfriend to be with you.
Yes.
And then there's, she's like, oh, but I won't do that to you. No, you're a dummy.
Yes.
You're a dummy.
100% accurate.
She'll cheat on you, too. So looking forward to seeing that in Baton Rouge and the tarmac or departure or whatever it is. I give it 4 or 5 years. I think that's a fair timeline. And then I think Lane's ultimate goal in this is to be the mini Nick Saban and to follow the Saban pipeline and to go to Alabama after being the LSU head coach at one point. Whenever Alabama opens, I'm expecting him to be like all in on that. Whether they hire him or not, different conversation. Let's talk NFC playoff picture. 654-ROAR is the number. And we'll start with the local team that gets a ton of texters in, and everybody's always blowing up the text lines when we talk about them. We've covered them extensively this season. I told you preseason I thought they'd win the division. I didn't think it would be at below 500, and I didn't think the division would stink this bad. But the Carolina Panthers are in the playoffs for the first time in a decade plus. They have a chance to win their a playoff game for the first time since 2015. And, Bryce Young, Dave Canales, they've done a good enough job to get in. 10.5-point underdogs at home at Bank of America Stadium. Allegedly, Cam Newton's going to be there. There's going to be a couple other franchise legends in attendance. It's Greg Olsen on the call. I think they're going blackout jerseys, which is just yes. It's going to be the sun is going to set during the game, and it's going to be night game under the lights in the second half with a 4:30 start. Man, I'm just so excited for Panthers fans. Enjoy this, Panthers fans, regardless, even if it is the only playoff game you get, because there's something to be said about what Carolina accomplished this season. This is a massive accomplishment and step forward for your franchise.
It's definitely an ultimate accomplishment. Should enjoy every minute of it. It doesn't matter how you got here, you got here. Love the way you frame that, because we didn't get the wonderful sunset at the Rose Bowl. I'm glad we're going to get our sunset in Charlotte, North Carolina, to compensate for the fact that'll be awesome. Everything you just laid out makes me absolutely terrified for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I mean...
I feel like...
I don't feel good about it.
No, I think you're trying way too many things to make sure you pull this thing off for all the good from a good vibes perspective. Now, if it is pouring rain, I think that helps the Panthers out. I do. But to have to... Like, I would be totally fine if they won this game... And you want to bring out everybody and all the alumni and everybody who's ever meant anything to the city of Charlotte in the next round, I think that makes sense. I don't love it for the wild card round and the first game to start the playoffs. I just, you see, you're wearing the all blacks, you're doing all this, I don't feel great about that when you have probably the league MVP coming in with arguably the best coach in the sport.
Looking at the matchup on paper, the Panthers did beat the Rams a couple weeks ago. 31-28 was the final. And I think there's a couple things that stick out to me that Carolina is going to have to replicate from a game plan perspective to stay competitive in this one. First and foremost, time of possession. The Panthers dominated the Rams on the line of scrimmage in this game. 35-16 time of possession to 24-44 for Los Angeles. While Los Angeles did outgain Carolina, Carolina ran 11 more total plays, which I thought were huge, and they also did a really good job of striking a good balance between the run game and the passing game. This was also a game where it was raining, which is worth taking into account. Carolina ran the ball 40 times for 164 yards at 4.1 yards per pop. It was 17 for Chuba. It was 18 for Dowdle. They did a good job of striking that balance. And then Bryce Young, I think all things considered outside of the Falcons game earlier this season, I think this is the best game of Bryce Young's career that he played against this Rams defense earlier this season. He was 15 for 20 for 206 yards and three touchdowns. He conducted a game-winning drive. He had the best, I think the best play of his career was a 4th-and-2 deep shot to Teteroa McMillan for a 50-plus yard touchdown in like a massive moment of this game. And Bryce made all the throws and all the plays for Carolina in this one to ultimately clinch them a victory. With that being said, you're going to have a performance like that from Bryce and the run game and the defense that's going to have to force turnovers to win this game. I'm not ruling Carolina out. I didn't, you know, go out on a limb as they were 25-1 underdogs to win this division in the preseason. I should have put my money where my mouth was, and I'd have probably be eating a nicer dinner tonight than what I'll be having. But in all seriousness, Bryce has to play very well, and he has to play clean if you want to find a way to win this football game. And then to parlay that to the other side of the ball, you're going to need to win the turnover margin, and your defense probably needs to take away two to find a way to win the football game, John. And Stafford talked about that too. He said that this was the best secondary that he had played at poaching the ball and getting takeaways all year. And the biggest difference with the first time these teams played was Stafford turned the ball over twice. One of his two picks was a pick six.
Yeah. That's way too much that has to go in one team's favor to win a football game. I'll be pulling for him. Would love to see the local team represent here. I just, man, that's asking of a lot for a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game in 11 years.
Yeah.
That's asking a lot. For a coach who's never been here before,
that's
for a quarterback who's never been here before, for a team and roster and just about everybody who's never been here before, against Sean McVay and the Rams.
Yep. And that's my biggest concern is Texter gets in and says, this is Carolina's Super Bowl, then we will get massacred in Seattle. Funnily enough, I think you're coming to Philadelphia if you win, brother, because I think the Packers are going to beat the Bears, and I think they're going to be taking the trip to get massacred in Seattle.
Oh, Packers are going to beat the Bears? We'll get to that in just a second.
We will. But another big name in this one that has finally, it took Dave Canales 18 weeks and his genius self to figure out something that I've been saying since the offseason. Jalen Coker is significantly better than Xavier Leggett, and Xavier Leggett is finally being phased out of this team. Just cut him. You should have cut him after like the fourth week of the season. It is a complete waste, and there's no ROI that's coming with Xavier Leggett. You need to get him off the team. But Coker was phenomenal the first time around the block against the Rams. I think Coker's a guy that's improved immensely throughout the course of the season. Told you guys in the offseason that I thought he was one of the most underrated players in football. I think he's proven me right throughout the course of the season. This is an undrafted free agent that's not on pretty much anyone's radar headed into last year. I thought he showcased a lot of talent and a lot of ability to go get the football in tight contested windows. He's done the same this year. Coker and Teteroa McMillan are going to have to make plays, and they're going to have to make plays with the ball in their hands after the catch if you want to win this game. But I'm glad that Dave, 18 weeks into this thing, has finally started to play the significantly better player. That does make me feel a little bit better about the chances. As far as a take a big step back for the Panthers thing goes, and Panthers fans, I want your opinion on this at 654 Roar. I think the biggest hindrance to Carolina this year has been Dave Canales, and I get that I'm not necessarily in the majority with that opinion, and I think he's done a good enough job to get them to the playoffs. But I'm so mind-boggled by somebody not learning from their own mistakes and doing the same thing over and over again. Like, it is the definition of insanity to call the games as conservatively as Dave Canales has been calling them and to not allow Bryce Young to push the ball down the field. You want to know who throws the most catchable deep ball in football this year? Bryce Young. You want to know who's the third graded passer in the NFL on 20-plus yard throws? Bryce Young. Maybe we should let that guy throw the ball 20-plus yards down the field. Just maybe. Maybe that's a good idea based off of all of the stats and advanced metrics that would indicate that Bryce Young is a top five deep ball thrower in the league. Where Bryce needs to take a step forward is the intermediate game, where he's bottom 10 in the 10 to 19 yard range in catchable yard percentage. All the other accuracy stats for Bryce are great. He's great behind the line of scrimmage. He's great from 0 to 9 yards, and he's elite, truly, at 20 plus yards down the field. Yet Canales consistently calls plays in that intermediate game, which is the 10 to 19 yard range, instead of letting Bryce push the ball further down the field where he's one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the NFL at doing such. If Dave Canales comes out and he plays like the underdog and he plays scared and not to lose and he doesn't trust his quarterback to make the throws, the Carolina Panthers will get steamrolled in this game. They will. There's a reason the spread is close to 11 and will probably close at 11 or 11 and a half. I don't trust the coach for Carolina. I don't trust the coach to call a good game. I don't trust the coach to call an aggressive game. And here would be my message to Dave Canales before we take a quick break, and we'll talk more about this on the other side. You have nothing to lose. Nothing. You have absolutely nothing to lose. No one expects you to win this game. No one expected you to be on this stage. No one expected Bryce Young to even be the quarterback at the end of this year. People were writing the guy off 4 games into his career. So why would you go out there and play soft and play not to lose would be my question. You played not to lose in Tampa Bay, you got bit in the butt for it. You played not to lose the week prior, you got bit in the butt for it. Twice against the New Orleans Saints this year, you played not to lose and you got bit in the butt for it. Your offense struggles, your defense has to be on the field more, and your defense has been bad situationally all year. You have to call an aggressive game, and you have to let Bryce push the ball down the field and live with the results if you want a chance to win this football game. And with the rainy weather, Bryce has already proven this year against this exact team that he can be uber efficient and complete the deep pass given what the conditions are. Use the run game to set up play action and take shot plays to Coker and Tetteroa and McMillan down the field. Call an aggressive game and live with the results. Because if you call conservatively and you're doing this run-run-pass junk where everybody in the building knows what's coming, like you're Kevin Petullo for the Eagles, this is going to be 31-14. And all your fans are going to be going home sad and wet in their ponchos because it's going to be pouring down rain. Call an aggressive game and you've got a puncher's chance. Call a conservative game and you're getting blown out. That's where I'm at on this one. I'll give a score prediction on the other side. Then we'll hop to my Eagles and Jason from Columbia's Niners. I'm worried about his Niners with their health situation, even though I don't think the Eagles are all that great. And then we'll get to Bears and Packers as well. Speaking of health situations, as the Packers whole team feels like it's on IR. Quick break here on the program. More NFC playoff talk right after this.
It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at Lake Kiwi Ford. And my team's ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and all always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation, so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI assistant summarizes your calls and responds to customers 24/7, so you never miss a lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically two coffees. You can even keep your current business phone number. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. No missed calls. No missed customers. Try Quo for free at Quo.com/sports. That's Quo.com/sports to try Quo free. Quo.com/sports.
Guns, guns. It's the Great American Gun Show this weekend, January 10th and 11th in Pickens at the Market at the Mill Event Center.
Buy, sell, and trade.
Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. Guns, knives, ammo. Bring your guns. Tell your friends it's a Great American Gun Show this weekend in Pickens.
Thinking about a move to the upstate? Discover Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 3 miles from historic downtown and 8 miles from Clemson. This family-owned builder has over 30 years of experience creating personalized homes built around your lifestyle. 1 to 2 story design. Starting in mid-300s, you can customize every detail in a 3,900-square-foot design studio. Community pool opens this year. Empire Homes has some fantastic limited-time incentives right now for both completed homes or building your dream home from the ground up. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com and start your new chapter in the Upstate.
When your business depends on the road, trust Skinner Tire for reliable truck tire solutions. From heavy-duty tires to expert alignments, tire balancing, and quick repairs, we keep your fleet rolling. Serving the upstate of South Carolina, we offer installation, oil changes, and 24-hour roadside help, so you're never left stranded. Skinner Tire has you covered. Visit SkinnerTires.com or call 864-599-0026 today for truck tires and service you can count on.
The Roar, with enough hot takes to melt your smart speaker. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Final segment of hour number two of the program here on a Friday. Folks, spring is just around the corner. That can only mean two important things: Clemson baseball and the busy spring real estate market. Fresh blooms, warmer days, and renewed energy are right around the corner, and it makes spring an exciting time here in the Upstate. The spring real estate market runs from now through the end of May, where sellers are prepping their homes to shine and buyers are eager to make a move. Clemson women's soccer alum Morgan Coleman is ready to make an assist with all of your buying and selling needs. Always happy to talk Clemson athletics with you as well. Search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started. That is Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. Again, we're talking Panthers. I think the Panthers are going to cover the number. I don't think they're going to get blown out, but I just, with the way that Dave has called the game the last 2 weeks, I struggle to trust the coaching staff situationally that this football team is capable of beating a McVay coach team twice. And I think that's fair. Like, again, I don't know if anybody on God's green earth outside of myself was predicting Carolina to win this division this year. I thought they'd be better, in all honesty. I thought that they would find a way to get to 10 wins. And I think that there was so much food that they left on their plate this year. And it's, again, like, people have put this hubris around Canales because they're quote-unquote ahead of schedule or overachieving. That's not really how I view this. Like, I told you guys in the preseason, I thought that this was a division-winning caliber roster, and that if anything was going to hold them back, it would be either Bryce Young not developing or Dave Canales calling the game poorly. You look at the margin of victory in a lot of these games and the consistent struggles in a lot of these games. They lose to the Saints 17-7. They don't push the ball vertically down the field. They score 7 points and lose. They've lost to the 49ers 20-9. Horrible red zone play calling. They score 9 points and lose. They lose to the Saints 20-17. They don't trust their quarterback with the game on the line to make the necessary throws. They run the ball, horrible play calling in plus territory. The defense folds and they lose. Seahawks 27-10. You're sitting right in that game. You don't trust your quarterback to push the ball vertically down the field and you lose. And then a very similar story against the Buccaneers, where if it wasn't for a garbage OPI on Tet McMillan, Bryce would have thrown for 315 yards and 2 touchdowns in this game. And again, you just don't push the ball vertically down the field enough to win the game. So I'm going to say Rams 31, Panthers 23. I think Carolina is going to find enough of a way to do things offensively to get some points on the board. I think they're going to cover that number, but ultimately I think this is Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams punching their ticket to the next round and what's going to be a successful season for Carolina. But I just advise Carolina and the leadership and the ownership, don't fall into the gimmick. And what I mean by that is don't allow the mainstream media's narrative of your football team cloud what the evaluation is in your building about where you need to be. Your roster is good enough to win next year with a couple of moves. You have $40 million in cap space. You have your picks. You're going to be able to potentially trade to acquire more picks. You are a boundary wide receiver and a tight end room overhaul away from being the favorite in this division once again next year, in my opinion, depending on who the Falcons hire. So Don't let the Canales, you know, hubris that he's been able to create, that this is some overachievement and miracle that they're here, cloud your judgment. It's not a miracle that you're here. You belong here. You should have 11 wins on the board right now if your coaching was competent throughout the course of the season. So that's where I'm at. Wish the best of luck to the Panthers. I'll be rooting for them. I've rooted for them all year. And I hope they find a way to get the job done tomorrow, because this would be a great story if they're able to punch their ticket to the next round, assuming you're taking the Rams large.
Not large, but of a decent margin, yeah. Like 34-24, 34-21, somewhere in there.
Texter gets in and says, Dave Canales has what people think Chad Morris, which he doesn't, has, and it's abandoned the run sickness. Yeah, you're 100% correct, 920. And here's the thing, like, people that watch this team every week, they know that this is not a fantastically coached football team. That's kind of where I'm at on the Panthers. Canales needs to give up play calling duties at minimum, and if he's not willing to do that, it's time for a coaching change, in my opinion. All right, Eagles 49ers. Philadelphia is -5.5 after the news coming out that Lane Johnson will be playing. Philadelphia with a worse record than San Francisco this year, 11-6. They're 5-3 at home. San Francisco's 12-5, 7-2 away from home. I'm still pissed that this game's even being played. I mean, the Eagles should be the 2 seed and playing the Packers right now, if the organization knew what was best for them, but it is what it is. I trust Sirianni and Hurts to get the job done at home. I don't see any reason to not trust them to get the job done at home. They're 5-0 as a tandem at home. And while I have my gripes and complaints with both of them, you know, at minimum, they've been able to step up to the plate and hit home runs in this type of situation throughout the course of their respective careers. I just think it's an interesting dynamic to me when you look at Philadelphia from an objective standpoint. The offense is nowhere near good enough to win the Super Bowl on paper. But what does counteract that to a certain extent is the fact that you have the best defense in the entire NFC outside of Seattle. Just full transparency, I don't think you're capable of beating Seattle if you're Philadelphia on the road. But nobody else in the field scares me. I think Chicago is one of the worst 2 seeds I've seen in my entire life as an NFL fan. I mean, Chicago, the Vegas odds makers are telling you everything you need to know about Chicago, with the fact that the Packers are road favorites over the Bears without half of their team playing and with their quarterback dealing with a massive injury issue down the stretch of the season. They're telling you everything you need to know about the Bears. So if, from an Eagles standpoint, am I scared of the Panthers? No. Not really. Why would I be scared of the Panthers? Am I scared of the Rams? No. But also, you're not going to have a scenario where you have to play the Rams before the NFC Championship game. You beat the Rams last year in the playoffs. You beat the Rams in the regular season this year. Am I scared of the Packers? No. You beat them at home in the playoffs last year. And again, you beat them in the regular season this year. I feel immensely confident about Philadelphia's chances at home against everybody in this playoff field except one team, and that's the Seattle Seahawks at the top of the bracket. So I think you're able to take care of business against the 49ers. I think the Eagles win 19-17. That's going to be my score prediction in this one. It's been a woeful offense all year. I'm not anticipating for that to change. I think the healthy Niners would clean the Eagles out, but they're not healthy, and that's not the conversation we're having here. So let's get to Jason in Columbia on that note. 654-ROAR is the number. Jason, best of luck this upcoming weekend, brother, and I feel pretty good from an Eagles perspective, but I'm interested to hear your 2 cents about the Niners kind of limping into the playoffs, and is this Shanahan's best coaching job, as crazy as that may sound, with the midseason QB change and McCaffrey dealing with injuries at the beginning of the year, no Warner, no Bosa? I think Shanahan's got a coach of the year case.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? I agree with you, you know, and it's funny when you're talking about, you know, which coaches do you trust? I mean, I know he's had some Super Bowl moments, but I think Shanahan, look, before this year, he only had 2 modes with the Niners. He either went on deep playoff runs to the championship game in the Super Bowl, or the team was just so injured that he missed the playoffs, like last year. This year, he's kind of splitting it down the middle. I mean, by all rights, the Niners should just miss the playoffs with that string of injuries, but you know, obviously they had a chance to play for the #1 seed last time out. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is a phenomenal job by Kyle. You know, I don't know, maybe it's a West Coast thing. You're going over the Oregon injury list. I mean, I guess Seattle's okay. But, yeah, it feels like that as a Niners fan when you were reading off that list. So I do think this is an incredible job by him. I fear it's going to come to an end this week, though. I think their only chance at going on a deep run was to get that #1 seed, lock in and be at home and have a week off. And obviously they weren't able to achieve that. So I think just playing Philly, you know, my fear, guys, is it's going to look a lot like the Super Bowl, where the line of scrimmage. I mean, again, we saw it last night with Miami. how important it is. We know that as Clemson people. When you can get pressure with your front four, you know, conversely, the Niners are last in sack rate in the NFL. I mean, they get no pressure with their front four. They also don't stop the run, and they also don't cover well in the secondary because they just expected to run with the wide receivers for too long because they don't get any pressure. So, man, if I was Sirianni, I'd just hand the ball to Barkley over and over again until the Niners show that they can stop it. And, oh, by the way, you know, Tatum Bethune, who is not like a superstar, I think he's just a second-year player that was trying to fill in at one of the linebacker spots, he's done for the year now too. So yep. We're down to Eric Kendricks, who I think is about 38 years old, and then guys that we signed off of practice squads last week. So I fear that's going to be too much to overcome. You know, it is interesting. Brock Purdy wound up being number two in total QBR, number three in EPA per play, number two in completion percentage over expected. He wound up having a really good season for the games that he was in. You know, obviously he missed about half the season, and I think his turf toe is fully recovered from what it looks like. I mean, I don't know if you agree with that, but he seems to be running just fine. But I think he's going to be running for his life too much. I'm not even 100% sure Trent Williams is playing. Now, he did get out onto the practice field yesterday, but Kyle has not indicated for sure that he and Pearsall are going to play. And Pearsall is the only Niners guy with any speed right now that can get down the field and get open against man coverage. So I just think it's a bad recipe for the Niners. This is a terrible matchup going into Philly.
Yeah, I think it's a really bad matchup for y'all. No bias in that as well. You know how I call it how I see it. In the same way that I think Seattle is like the worst nightmare matchup for us if we eventually collide with them. And you know, for the Niners, like, again, it's just lines of scrimmage play, Jason. It's the fact that you guys' lines of scrimmage have been decimated due to injury, and that's directly coinciding at the time on the calendar that the Eagles are getting Jalen Carter and Lane Johnson back. Like, it could not be a worse break from a calendar injury perspective for your Niners in this one. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be your classic, you know, bad offense, great defense team, which is what the Eagles are, with the highest net spend in football on an offense and can't move it. But the defense is really, really good. The Eagles are really, really tough to beat at home in the playoffs. And I think we've got the lines of scrimmage play to get it done, provided Lane's healthy. And I think he is. Hope they can run the ball more efficiently than they did throughout the course of the season. Landon Dickerson has regressed immensely throughout the course of the season because he's playing hurt. So that's another thing for the Eagles, is just like, there's been a lot of injuries this year that they've had to work through and sort through. And then of course, Kevin Petullo and his incompetence combined with Sirianni's incompetence on offense. They're just running a horrible, horrible unit there. But I think the Eagles can find a way to get a close one done.
Yeah. And you know, my only hope as a Niners fan is that, look, Kyle is such a good schemer. And Brock is playing at a high level that, you know, we saw it in the middle of the season when the Niners beat the Rams, and that was actually with Mac Jones and like a whole crew of fill-ins. And so Kyle can pull one out every once in a while just because he's so good with the X's and O's. But I just feel like it's asking too much. And I know Philadelphia's offense has been disappointing this season. It's really weird, and I know you're very frustrated as an Eagles fan because you look at all the pieces that they have and you think they'd just be rolling along. But I just think as long as the Eagles don't get cute and neglect to give the ball to Barkley, I think we're going to see a steady diet of that. And I just think that the Eagles' defensive front is going to wind up being too disruptive, especially if – I mean, if Trent Williams can't play, we have no shot whatsoever. But even if he does play, you got to think he's an older guy, even though he's elite still. But he's an older guy on a hammy, and those hamstrings tend to linger. So, it's part of me would be surprised if the margin is even as close as you indicated. But certainly I will hope for that, because maybe that gives the Niners at least a chance in the end. But otherwise, I just think it's going to be too tall a task, and I see the Eagles moving on.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just so intriguing to look at the Eagles' offensive numbers, and they're just so awful this year. It's crazy. Like, last year was so effortless with Kellen Moore as the play caller, and they were grouping formations really well, and I think Kellen did a great job. And then you see Shuck's development this year, and you see what the real genius for the Eagles. The Eagles have had two great seasons under Nick Sirianni where they were legitimate contenders. It was with Shane Steichen and Kellen Moore calling plays. Everybody else calling plays has been an unmitigated disaster. Both internal promotions from Nick Sirianni have led to him tampering in the offense as well. NFL have been an unmitigated disaster with Brian Johnson in 2023 and now with Kevin Pitullo here in 2025. And I think this Eagles team is vastly better in 2025 than the 2023 version was, Jason, because instead of having the defensive disaster after Sirianni's hire went horribly in 2023, Fangio is a freaking gangster. And this defense is truly elite. This is one of the best Eagles defenses I've ever seen, up there with maybe the best, which is the only reason I have hope headed into this one. I hope you can score enough points, because when you're looking at, you know, all the DVOA stats for like offense and what the Eagles have been able to accomplish throughout the course of the season, it is vomit worthy what the Eagles have put on tape this year on offense. And I really hope that there's some turning of the corner that we see in the playoffs.
Well, you've got a slump buster coming to town, because this defense, woof. And maybe we can relate a little bit as Clemson fans the last couple of years here. You know, we've often been frustrated by the lack of offensive rhythm. But when you put a defense out on the field that is giving up, just getting shredded, that's, to me, that's the worst feeling in the world as a football fan. You just feel powerless watching the defense get shredded up and down the field. So that's my major concern. So like I said, I fear you've got a slump buster coming to town, but maybe Kyle can pull a shocker out here, but I would definitely feel comfortable riding with your Eagles there.
Man, I really hope that is the case. Jason, I appreciate the phone call as always, brother. I hope you have a great weekend and best of luck this weekend, man.
Yep, go Jags, man. We'll be locked in before the Eagles game on the Jaguars.
Duval, right? I'm not Liam Cohen, but I can give my best impression there. Hopefully Trevor's wearing his grill. Thank you, Jason. I don't feel immensely confident in a deep run, but I do feel pretty confident against the Niners. And again, this is Shanahan's best coaching job to me, John. I mean, injury-riddled, quarterback misses half the year, defensive guys are dropping like flies, and you get to 12-5 and get to the playoffs? Like, that's a crazy good coaching job.
Other than amounting a 28-3 lead on Tom Brady, I think this has to be up there.
Sorry, Falcons fans. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. Final hour of the program's coming up on the other side. We'll be talking more NFL playoffs. We had a couple people getting in on the Bills and the Jags as well. We'll also hit the Packers and the Bears right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens.